satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisers, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing, so it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish the decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the king went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." We're going to leave Daniel there while we sing a hymn, and then we'll find out what happens after the hymn.
Signet ring, and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I think we've reached the most famous story in the Bible about Daniel. If you open any children's Bible, I bet you'll find a picture of Daniel being chucked in the lion's den. So, a privilege to be asked to speak on this passage, but also daunting as well. Let's just pray before I start. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take these words and use them to bring glory to you and to you alone. Amen. Well, before we look at Daniel, I thought it would be worth just thinking a bit about the challenges we may face as Christians, individually, as a church, as a country, people who believe in Jesus. There's a little book that I was given just a couple of weeks ago. It was only published by the Barnabas Trust back in January this year. And they're worried about the number of challenges there are to our faith and our belief. I just want to read just one little paragraph from it. It says this: "The UK led the world in developing freedom of religion and in spreading the ideas of religious freedom across the globe. Today, that heritage is being turned upside down. This is primarily due to attempts to impose an increasing intolerant secular humanism on Christians and churches. There's anti-Christian prejudice that's raising its ugly head. Over the last two decades, Parliament has begun to enact laws restricting religious freedom, and pre-existing laws have been misused by the police and the Crown, and even claiming that to quote from the Bible in public may be a criminal matter." Now, I don't know if you were aware of that any more than I was, or whether you might have had a sneaking suspicion that, you know, it wasn't all easy going behind. Chris Wright was here two or three weeks ago, good friend of mine. I hope some of you bought his book on Daniel. This is in this chapter of chapter 6 of Daniel, he writes the following comment: "We need to be on our guard as Christians and as citizens with regard to the constitutional framework of our country. Constitutions matter, for they frame the values and conditions under which social and political life will be conducted. And we know from the Bible that God cares about such things. We know from Jesus' own words, where he, when he was talking in the Gospels, said you're going to face persecution. Not all's going to be well. It's going to be difficult to follow me." So what was Daniel's approach to following God? Once again in chapter 6, it's a story, a really fascinating and fantastic story in a way. And today we have three groups of people. We've got an impetuous king who's open to flattery. We've got envious rivals to Daniel and really not looking forward to him being in greater authority. And we got God's man, Daniel, standing firm in his belief in God's power and authority. So I want to have a 3D look at Daniel this morning. But after a little recall of the background to the story, throughout the ages, the prophets had warned the people what would happen if they didn't follow him and keep true to him, that he'd take his protection away from them if they kept on ignoring him and his laws. Now, Daniel and his friends, and we've met them quite often in the past few weeks, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had remained very firm and solidly following what God had said. They had all those challenges that we've seen over the past 3 weeks. You remember the thing about food, about being told to bow down and worship a statue, and refusing to do that and being thrown in the fiery furnace. And last week, Daniel having to tell the king what the writing on the wall meant. In each case, they were saved because of keeping true to God and trusting in him. So my 3Ds for this morning, my 3D view. And the first one's deception. The second one's defiance, and the third one is deliverance. Now let's look at that deception. Daniel served with distinction for three of the kings. You remember that he had helped run the country for Nebuchadnezzar, and then for Belshazzar. And then when the Persian and Mede Empire, overtook the Babylonian Empire, he started working for Darius, the king of the Persian Empire, the Mede, Darius the Mede. Darius was quite good, I think, about picking people, even from foreign countries, who he could see were, good at administration. He wasn't worried about using people who weren't of his own race. Now, at this point in his life, Daniel, and that was 539 BC, Daniel was about 80 years old. And he, as the Bible said, he was one of three governors who were looking after the other officials, satraps. Lovely name, isn't it? A satrap. I don't know quite what it means. But Darius could see how good Daniel was at doing his job, so he wanted to appoint him over the whole lot of them. You know, he would be sort of second in charge of the country, and you can just imagine what those other ones would think. There was great jealousy there, to put him in that position. So they plotted against him. And unlike, most politicians, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. It made me think a little bit this week with the death of Billy Graham, that a true man of God, who in the press, no one's been able to find out anything wrong with him. There's been no negative press at all, which is fantastic, really. So they couldn't get rid of him in that way. They couldn't bribe him. And the only way they could get rid of him was something to do with his trust and worship of God alone. So they persuaded Darius, this, it sounds sort of slightly weak sort of man, to make a law that nobody could bring any requests to anyone else other than him over a period of 30 days. Not a long time. They didn't just bring that sort of thing to him in a sort of committee. You know, they really sort of went for it. They used emotional blackmail in a way to say, look, there might be people who are going to let you down, people who might be plotting against you. Make this law. No one else can worship you, anyone else other than you. it was the law of the Medes and Persians. That's quite a sort of interesting sort of phrase in a way. What did that mean? You can imagine that you could be changing laws all the time. So it was quite important that it had some sort of authority that was going to be kept for an amount of time. It wasn't something that could be changed just like that. And they knew that. So for Daniel, it was a real test of his faith and his daily prayer and petition to God by kneeling down and praying. Now, this little book that I've been reading mentions a number of issues where our belief and practices in God might well come into conflict. It mentions just three things I wanted to sort of mention from it. A government report proposing that interpretation of scripture should ensure that it fits with mainstream society. Our interpretation of scripture, you know, someone's going to tell us how to think. A proposal that could exclude committed Christians from holding certain public offices unless they deny aspects of their faith. It made me think a little bit about last year and what happened to Tim Farron. And he said that being a leader of a progressive party in 2017 and to live as a committed Christian and to hold faithfully to the Bible's teaching has felt impossible to me. And he resigned. So I just wonder if we're aware of any of the deceptions that may deny our religious freedom now and in the future. Back to Daniel. What did he do? Second D, he was defiant. When Daniel knew that the law had been signed, he knelt down and prayed as usual, that's important, three times a day with his window facing Jerusalem. Daniel knew what those men were doing, that they were setting this plot against him, but didn't change what he was doing. He knew the God that he worshipped and he trusted in him. It's sort of important the way to think of that aspect of prayer. Daniel was praying at an open window facing Jerusalem. Now, it's an image you've got, but you're facing a particular direction. Jerusalem had been raised to the ground. It didn't sort of kind of exist. It had been almost knocked out of thing. And the temple itself had also been torn down. But what Daniel was illustrating was that he was praying and depending on God himself. That's who he was looking towards, if you see what I mean, rather than a city that had been pretty well destroyed. He knelt down in the face of his enemies and he defiantly prayed to the God he loved. Lastly, deliverance. This is the most memorable part of the story, the bit that's in the children's Bibles. Daniel's opponents were sitting outside that window and just watching him. And the moment that he went and prayed as normal, they went running off to Darius to tell him what he had done. Now, Darius, I think, was really angry with himself for this law that he had made, which couldn't be broken. He actually liked Daniel and he must have respected him because he wouldn't have wanted to put him in charge of all his country if he hadn't respected him and liked him. But it was a law that couldn't be broken. So Daniel was arrested and taken to the den of lions. But it was interesting if you note what Darius said to Daniel, "May your God, who you worship continually, deliver you." And then Daniel was thrown in that lion's den. And Darius had a stone placed over it so no one could take him out of it, and he sealed that stone with his own signet ring. Darius returned to the palace, we're told, that night, and had a pretty sleepless night. He couldn't sleep, he didn't eat, he didn't have his usual entertainment. And early in the morning, he went running to that den of lions and calling out, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, was God, which you worship, able to deliver you from the lions?" And then he heard a voice, tension building up, "Your Majesty, live forever. It was Daniel. My God has sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths. They can't touch me. I'm innocent before God, nor have I wronged you." And the king was beside himself with joy and ordered that Daniel was lifted from the den. And the Bible says there was not a scratch found on him. He was delivered. Daniel was delivered from the lions. Darius was delivered from making a bad law. And Daniel's opponents were delivered into the mouths of those same lions. And the Bible says with their wives and their children, who tore them apart before they reached the bottom of the den. And then Darius issued another decree or another message to the people to say that the people should fear and reverence the God of Daniel. So justice prevails. So what can I say in conclusion? We worship a powerful, just and gracious God who is well able to overcome the challenges to his authority. We don't need to protect him like jihadists and his name. That's not our part. What we need to do is to give him the opportunity to be heard by living lives worthy of him. Like Daniel, I think that means keeping in touch with him daily, to care about his word in the Bible. I'm sure Daniel prayed for Darius, and just with the things I've cited from that little booklet, we need to pray for those who are responsible for making our laws, but they are just and they do acknowledge God's authority. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to be able to worship and witness to you freely. Help our faith in you to grow and give us strength to resist anything which turns us away from belief in you. Because we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.